Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati, or should I say, That's So Hollywood. And if I could sing, I would, but nobody wants me to do that. But I'm here.
Hooray for Hollywood. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. Is that the song you had in mind?
Yes, it is.
All right.
I'm here with Burl Love, my co-host. Today's special guest is Christian Schlottman. She is the CEO of Film Cincinnati. And so what we're basically, she is all things movies. And she has taken this organization and just grown it exponentially every year, over 25 years from going from intern to what it is now. We thought it would be great to have her on this week because sure, we're talking about the Bengals and we're going to get to that in 1 second. But if you are on any sort of social media channel or even the media, we write about it all the time. There's a movie being filmed here. It's called The Wise Guys, starring Robert De Niro, and you cannot miss it. And I am so excited to kind of watch it unfold and see what this is. I love movies like this. The pedigree, Barry Levinson from Rain Man, the co-writer from Goodfellas is on this movie. And so it's star-studded. And I think this is going to be like the next big thing. And it's right here on 8th Street.
It's going to be exciting, too, to see Robert De Niro, you know, stepping out of character and playing some kind of gangster.
I know, crazy,
right? No, but yeah, we are actually, we're going to put together some of the shots that people have shared on social media of storefronts being transformed in Cincinnati and in Covington to look like, you know, like they just came right out of the 50s. It's just some amazing stuff that we've seen. We're going to put that all together. The 1950s era automobiles that are lining the streets where they're filming right now. Just a really exciting time. And it's going to be fun to kind of dig into, you know, what does Film Cincinnati, our film commission, what do they do and what's their role in bringing these movies in and how to get involved and everything like that. But we always talk about the big story of the week, and I think it's still Bengals.
It is. And, you know, it doesn't even bother me. I wrote some big stories myself last week. But Scott Wortman, he took us a little bit behind the scenes of the Bengals, of something we've talked about on this podcast before. And I have to tell you, it is like, what's up with the naming rights at Paycor Stadium? And I am so proud of Scott. I can't even, if you go into journalism, you're not a math major, because if you know math, you're going to go to a job where you make a lot of money. And Scott, he did this himself. I did not really help. I helped him sort through, like, making the, you know, reader really understand it and putting it in that kind of context.
Well, but let's back up for a minute. Let's back up,
you guys.
We have been reporting since the naming rights for Paycor Stadium were announced about how that happened. We had people from Paycor as guests on this podcast. And, you know, we have a lot of the information, but what we never really had was, what did Paycor pay for naming rights?
Because it's been a secret.
And I've ranted about this before, so I'll just kind of summarize it, that, you know, the stadium formerly known as Paul Brown Stadium is owned by the county, which means it is owned by the taxpayers of Hamilton County. And it's funded through taxes. It's funded through sales tax. And the county leases it to the Bengals. And so the matter of what is the stadium worth in terms of naming rights is in and of itself interest to the public. But it even gets, you know, what I would say, like, more cut and dry. You know, does the county, do the citizens of Hamlin County, should they be able to know what that naming rights deal was worth? The answer is a resounding yes, because the lease calls for a certain amount of those funds, you know, that were, you know, purchased for the naming rights. If it exceeded a certain amount, then the county would start to get some of that money back to them. And the Bengals right away said, hey, we're not telling you what we paid for or what we received for naming rights from Paycor, but we will tell you that it was below the threshold. And so there'll be no money for the taxpayers of Hamblin County. I didn't think that was good enough. Scott didn't think that was good enough. We have put in all kinds of record requests to try to get to that. But we don't know the actual number, but I think Scott, through his reporting, was able to get pretty close to what Paycor might have paid. And the story breaks it down. It's a math, as you alluded to, it is calculus. It's not basic math. But based on what similar market sizes, market-sized stadiums went for naming rights, and knowing kind of the economics involved with the former Paul Brown Stadium, Scott kind of honed in on a deal that comes in somewhere above $100 million, maybe between $100 and $110 million. But it gets complicated, and you can probably fill in some of the gap here, Sherry, is that the Bengals are allowed to roll up into this deal other types of advertising and marketing, and so which would be subtracted from the naming rights. So it's all bundled together. It includes signage. It includes
also bundled by year. It's
right.
Complicated.
But I think I like Scott's math. You know, he might be off a million here and there, but I think that gives at least people a rough idea of what Paycor paid, what the naming rights are worth for that publicly owned stadium. And it kind of gets into the why of why it won't necessarily mean additional revenue for the county, which is not surprising.
No, I agree. But do you know what would have been easier? If the commission,
telling us?
The Bengals don't have to tell us. But the commissioners, if they had just said, we did the math, we know the answers, and here, and even if they didn't tell us the exact numbers, then this is what would be left over. It's not that much, right? With the things that Scott did in the story. But when the first questions that were asked were, well, we don't really know, and they didn't tell us, and like that namby-pambying by people who are accountable to taxpayers was really upsetting to hear. And I think it set Scott off in this amazing direction where he was able to do it himself. So it would have been easier if the elected officials had just done this. But that's okay. It's why we have Scott.
Well, and that's, you know, to put a bow on this discussion is, you know, that's part of our job. That's us at our best when we are asking tough questions, when we are seeking government transparency, holding elected officials accountable. And, you know, sometimes we achieve this through just dogged reporting like Scott was able to do. Oftentimes we end up filling out information requests under the Freedom of Information Act. Sometimes that leads to us filing lawsuits or other type of legal action to get answers. But I hope that demonstrates to, you know, our readers, our listeners, that, you know, when it comes to things like the stadium, how much we're on the hook, you know, in the near future, that lease is going to have to be renegotiated. You know, this all has implications on the county budget. It affects other services. It's a huge economic driver. You know, when the Bengals were struggling, there was talks about, well, what would it mean if we just let the team leave? You know, if someone purchased the team from the Brown family and moved it, that doesn't seem like a concern for people now, since winning seems to fix everything. But it is a huge piece of our local economy. And being that it's not a privately funded stadium, it was built with tax dollars. This information is important for voters to know. So end of rant. I'm off my soapbox now. Let's just talk about how awesome it is to have the Bengals in the AFC Championship for the second year in a row, which is an historic event for this team.
I wanted to, Kristen is waiting in the wings. Let's bring Kristen on. And then I want to ask you about the Monday's front page. And I just,
right.
I loved it. You want to do that?
Let's do it. Let's do special okay. guest.
I'm here on That's So Cincinnati. I'm so excited because we're patching in from Sundance, super glamorous. Christian Schlottman, CEO of the Film Commission. Welcome to That's So Cincinnati.
Thank you. I'm a fan of this podcast. I listen to it all the time, but I'm so honored to be asked to be a part of it. It's like one of my favorite things to listen to.
I can't believe that we have not asked you before. It's so, I feel like every week it's like next week we'll have her and then like in the news. But I have been thinking about it. Now, Burl and I talked about this earlier. You can't talk about the movie, The Wise Guys, that's filming right now. And I actually understand that. We talked about that. But it is top of mind right now because of how downtown is transforming. So we just thought we would catch up. And I know that you interned with the Film Commission. Do you want to say how long ago?
Yeah, it's embarrassing, but I don't mind saying it. Yeah, so 25 years ago, I started as an intern.
But I do, having watched this, I came here like, you know, a little bit after that you're doing that. And I have watched you turn Cincinnati into, you know, Hollywood East. I'm sorry. There's just no way to really, you know, say other than that. Like, there is always some sort of Hollywood star, you know, gallivanting on our streets and in our restaurants. And that's because of you.
It's been a long time coming, but I still feel like, I mean, this is so, I don't know if this is lame or cool, but 25 years into it, I still feel like it's just the beginning, because right now we're 11 worldwide for a place to live and work in the film industry, but I want to be number one and I want to take on Georgia and I want Cincinnati, Ohio to be a world-class destination for all things production. And we're on our way. I mean, you can look at the caliber of talent coming to town. You can look at the caliber of work coming out of our market. And I think all those things are just leading to this trajectory where we will be number one. And I firmly believe it. I'm so confident in it. And why not us, right? That's the tagline right now.
I did want to ask, it's not just people, it seemed like, because I was really kind of looking at this list, made me think about it. I love when Cincinnati makes any list. But it seems like they're not just bringing people in, right? They're not just flying in and flying out. It seems like we have the talent here that lives here and makes Cincinnati their home. Is that true? Is that how it, when we're talking about this particular list?
Well, not only is it true, but one of the things that I love to share with people is that movies don't come in, shoot, and leave for good. Every single movie that is shot in Cincinnati has come back for a second, third, fourth, or fifth film. So they experience what it's like to make a film in Cincinnati. They enjoy the people, they enjoy the talent, they hire quality crew base, and they come back. They want to come back. So, you know, I'm out here at Sundance and meeting with Killer Films today. They've been back to Cincinnati 5 times. Everybody that's shot in Cincinnati has come back. So that's a testament to the talent and quality of people that you're hiring there. But to your point is, yes, like it's not just they're in and out. Not only are they coming back, some of them stay. Crew bases, people are moving to Cincinnati because of this industry, which is, you know, one of the goals, right? We don't want people in and out. We want people to invest in the community and invest in this industry and stay. And that's what we're seeing. And that's the really rewarding part of this.
So, Christian, you're touching on something that I think I want to dig into a little deeper. So for the layperson or the casual observer, I think the narrative is that, oh, well, we get a lot of movies that are filmed here because Cincinnati has great architecture. If you're looking for a set to, you know, that someone wants to set in, you know, vintage era New York, you can convert, you know, parts of Over the Rhine or Covington or whatever, but it's much more than just the physical location. It's the infrastructure. It's the crew. Can you kind of break down how the Film Commission connects those dots and like what is your actual job? Like describe what it is.
Well, just like anything else, you know, in business, you want to get the maximum value of the dollar, right? So first and foremost, a tax credit is bringing them to Ohio. And Ohio has very competitive tax credits. We're one of the best in the world. we're providing 30% above and below the line in or out of state employment, because that's building the infrastructure here. That's allowing us to build a bench. So first and foremost, a tax credit. Beyond that, you know, tax credits are provided all over the world. You have to have the people to support that to get the quality of work that you want. So those things matter first and foremost ahead of what it even looks like. So why people think, yeah, we have great architecture. That's like the third on the list. Movie makers will make it work wherever, as long as you're getting the value of the dollar and the quality of the dollar. And so if you can put more money up on the screen, which you can here physically in our Cincinnati region, then that's what really is the selling point. So once I sell those two or three things at the top of it, second, I'll read the script, I break it down, I show them what their film's gonna look like here in Cincinnati. And so for every one location that they require, I give them 10 options. So, you know, you need a church, here's 10 churches that look like this. You want a main street, here's 10 main streets. And so we'll break it down and show them first how much it costs to work here, then what it's gonna look like here. And then, excuse me, I'll share with them the crew list of all the films that have been here to show them how we can support making that film here and how many people there are here in our region to hire to not just make this, but make it really well done. And that's sort of our sales and marketing piece of it, if that makes sense.
Is that what you're doing in Sundance right now? Are you there kind of selling Cincinnati? Because I think sometimes when you think of Sundance, you're like, oh, well, what movies could I bring here? But you're selling Cincinnati?
Absolutely. Sundance is a market that people are looking for distribution, but you are saturated with filmmakers from all over the world. And if they haven't thought of Cincinnati, we're here to make them think of it. And they're like, why Cincinnati? And that's why we're here, to tell them why Cincinnati. And gosh, I have to tell you guys, sorry for the frog in my throat. But yesterday, just with the Bengals, you know, playing in this playoff game, everyone on Main Street was shouting Who Day. And everyone was like, Cincinnati, Cincinnati. And I feel like there was a 30-minute window there where we turned all of Sundance into a Bengals fan. And everyone was cheering on Main Street. And so Cincinnati's selling itself with the help of our teams and everything else. But to be out here, if you're not thinking of it, then you're not going to consider that first phone call. And I want to be here in front of mine to get that first call, because why not Cincinnati? And we can make, yes, we do a period New York very well. We do a period architecture very well. But we can do anything in Cincinnati. We might not have the ocean. We might not have the mountainous region, but that's CGI, and we can help you with that too.
I mean, you could feel free to try and bring Yellowstone season 6 here somehow. Oh my gosh. But I get
that. I met the woman yesterday who is the costumer for Yellowstone, and she is selling like coats and clothing out here. And I was so starstruck because I love that show. And I was like, wow. And it's just, you run into everyone out here. And people are like, wow, Cincinnati, you have De Niro in town right now. You have Barry Levinson in town. You guys are killing it. And you get so stuck in your small town mindset that you forget that people are hearing about us because of these projects. And it's just such a delight to like, not only share that the good news with them, but also say what's next, you know? Let's work together.
Yeah, this is a moment. You have a team in the playoffs. You have De Niro in town filming. It does seem like a moment. And it's funny that that all came together at Sundance. I could hear, watching the game, more Who Day chants than I heard any kind of Bills chants. And so I can just imagine what it was like at Sundance at that time, too. So speaking of the De Niro movie, we know you can't get into details, but it seems people are super excited. We've seen pictures of the storefronts that just look amazing. What can you tell us about how it's going without, you know, putting yourself at risk of, you know, getting sued or ruining the NDA or something like that? I think people would be hungry for just a crumb of information about how it's going.
Well, I think the only thing I can say is it's going incredibly well. And I would tell your listeners to like follow Film Cincinnati on Facebook or social media because they're constantly looking for background extras, period cars, people. Like there's so many opportunities to be not just excited about it, but to be a part of it. And that's what I think Cincinnati is really enjoying. I mean, it's been in town for a few weeks. It'll be in town for a few more weeks. And all I can tell you is it's going great. And it's just so great to see Cincinnati, you know, shine and to see people enjoy being here and to see people appreciating the quality of life that you have while working here. That's been great.
If you missed that first casting call for extras, there still might be opportunities. Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah. I post every day from casting. I think just last night I posted that they're looking for identical twins in their 20s or 30s that we need promptly this week. I mean, there's always opportunities.
So, I mean, and you definitely, most of them are like, do you look like, you know, mob adjacent? Do you look Italian? And I've been so sad because anyone who follows me on social media knows as I'm older, I'm much blonder, but like I'm 100% Italian and like black hair. Like if I go in the sun, I get so dark. And I was like, oh, this is me 25 years ago. It's too late. It's too late for me to be a star.
Well, and you have to remember that it's a period film, right? So it's 1954. So, you know, casting is looking for people, you know, in 1954, a lot of people didn't have highlights or have, you know, different modifications to their look, whatever, so to speak. So, you know, those things are important, but there is a place for everyone. I tell anyone that wants to be a part of it to apply because it's the best way to be on a set, to be close to it, to watch it, and to really feel, I mean, what an exciting thing just to be near these legends and working with them. And I mean, Barry Levinson, our director.
Rain Man.
I don't know if you know this, but the Rain Man was the film that started Film Cincinnati. So that was the movie that sort of curated the need for a film commission here in Greater Cincinnati. And that was in 1987, cut to where we are today, 2023, and he's back. It's just full circle. It's really awesome.
Let me ask you a question because I know you can't talk about like what's happening now, but as I am seeing all these images pop up, you know, Arnold is being turned into this big part of the set and things around it. Can you talk about a past movie where we still have some remnants left over? Because it looks like there's like, you know, kind of boarded up empty spaces that have been turned into like, I want to go to that, you know, that food shop. I want to go to that bar. Did any movies like ever leave remnants of what they've created?
generally, no. But movies do work with owners of buildings and businesses. And if they like how they've adjusted it for actual filming and want to leave it behind, then the building owner would request that. but a lot of times people want it back the way they found it. And movie makers are very astute and thoughtful about making sure that we not only leave it better than we found it, but that we're making sure that the owner is happy with the way we've left it. So no, a lot of times we don't leave them behind. But there certainly are times where I'm like, God, that sign looks great. Or that storefront's amazing. Just keep it like that. We'll see. I can't think of a movie where someone was like, leave it exactly like that. But I can tell you, there's been movies where we've shot in private residences where people have said, I love what you did with this room. Leave the wallpaper. I want it exact. So that has happened. But storefronts, I can't remember one that's necessarily done that.
So if you're not the acting type, if you're not the in front of the lens type, there's lots of opportunities to support the Film Cincinnati. Sure. It's a nonprofit, so obviously you're always welcoming donations. And if you go to Film Cincinnati's website and you're interested, you can donate. What are some of the other ways people can get involved in the Film Society?
So If you have a 1970s living room and you want me to consider that for a potential shoot, or you have a period car, or you have a place of business that has a great boardroom, all of these things, gosh, they're requested all the time. So what you can do if you want to be part of it and you want to be compensated for it, if you have something that you would like to be considered as a location, we ask for people to send those in. The more we can build our database and library of potential film locations, the better we all are. So that's one way. If you just want to be, you know, if you want to work on it, if you have a service to provide these people, if you want to be in it, there's so many ways to be a part of it. If you want nothing to do with it, but and you don't want us to look at your street, we want to know that too. But there's so many ways to be involved, whether it's a place for filming, a person for filming, a wardrobe. You own certain things that you think we might rent from you. Prop houses, anything. Those are all things that are resources to filmmakers. And the more resources we have as a community, the more viable we are to the industry.
Can you see us ever like moving more towards television? It has, you know, as we see, it has the word film in it, obviously, but I see some of these other cities on the list. And you see them at the end of the TV shows we watch, like the cities. Right.
The only reason those people are ahead of us is because they, as a state, are providing more tax credits. So the goal that we would have here in Ohio is right now we're offering $40 million in tax credits. That's statewide on an annual basis. That's not a lot. Our neighbors in Kentucky are already doing $75 million out of the gate. And when you see the Georgia peach at the end of every show that you're watching, that's because they have unlimited tax credits. So what we want to do in Ohio is expand that, because we don't just want to be a great place every now and then. We want this industry here on a regular basis. And if we expand those tax credits, we will see series popping up here on a regular basis. Now, I can't tell you how many series we've turned away. Ozark wanted to do their fourth season here. The Walking Dead wanted to shoot here. There's so many different shows that have scouted Greater Cincinnati because they've heard of the quality of work coming out from the motion picture side, that they've considered it as a series. But we have to have more tax credits to anchor those shows here on a regular basis. And we're positioned to do that. And so far in Ohio, it's always been a very bipartisan tax credit, and we've had support from both sides of the aisle. We started very conservatively and needed to have a proof of concept. So originally when we started this tax credit in Ohio, we started with $10 million statewide. And the first film to take advantage of that tax credit was a film called The Ides of March. And while that was a great film to start, everyone thought because George Clooney had ties to the area, that's why he was here. But it was really that tax credit that brought that film from shooting 100% in Detroit, Michigan, to 50% here in Greater Cincinnati. And that was that tax credit. So that was the, you know, and then we started, and then we went back to knowing what we did really well as a city. And back in the 80s and 90s, with the help of the director, John Sayles, we knew we could do a period piece here. We knew we had the highest concentration of Italian architecture of anywhere in the world. So we started marketing Cincinnati to period films. And, you know, Todd Haynes first discovering us on the film Carol, and then Killer Films becoming a loyal client and doing many period pieces here. That's really what gave us that calling card back in Hollywood of saying, you know, Cincinnati's not just back on the map for a place to shoot, but there are some really great people there, and it's a really great experience. That started our trajectory. And when we showed the state of Ohio, back when we were doing $10 million a year, that $1.20 was coming back on every dollar they were investing, they said, well, let's double it. So we went to $20 million. And in that $20 million, we saw $2.10 coming back on every dollar. So they doubled it again. Now we're at $40 million, and we're seeing $3.11 coming back. And so now they want to expand it further. And that's our job, to make sure legislators are knowing the return on investment with that tax credit program. And the other thing I think Ohio has done really well is there's never been some formula to figure out what the economic impact is. Everything has been, you apply to the state of Ohio, the Department of Development mandates this tax credit program, but everything is, you know, public record. So we see exactly what you're investing in Ohio. We see how many room nights you're booking. We see your payroll taxes. We see exactly what we're getting as a state in that economic benefit to know if this is worthwhile. And that's been just that transparency alone for Ohio. Even though we've grown the market slowly, I think we've done it smartly. And I think that's what's going to give us the edge moving forward. And I think that's also why we've had the support of the entire legislature.
So back to my earlier question about a day in your life, it sounds like you're one part lobbyist, one part salesperson, one part organizer. What's a typical, I mean, I know there's no typical day for you. You're sitting at Sundance now. But I'm sitting on this call,
but I'm never.
You are working your butt off at Sundance right now as we speak.
I have to say, when I saw her at work when we went to the Super Bowl, like in like kind of like the media room, she worked all day long, really like working. I was so impressed, like working with the media and selling Cincinnati about, because we were in, you know, Hollywood, we were in Los Angeles. And so it does seem like it's a lot of work, but go ahead. What's it like?
No, you know what? Did you guys ever watch the show Scandal? Like the Olivia Pope, I'm the fixer, right? So I am solving problems all day long in the film world in Cincinnati. And, you know, everyone's like, I feel like, you know, everyone in this town. I go, well, you know what? For the first part of my career, I made friends. And the second part, we're making movies. And those friends I call upon nonstop, because if we can solve the problem for them and time crunch that and make it work efficiently, that's what I want to do. But I don't just want the movie to succeed. I want Cincinnati to succeed. You know, at the end of the day, we live here. This is our town. We love this place. I want us to be happy about the business that's coming in and how, you know, they're utilizing our, not just our locations, but their experience here while they're here. So solving problems, lobbying, sales, public relations, that's a day in the life.
That's amazing. I'm going to start using that, Sherry, when people ask what I do. I'm the fixer.
Yeah, this is so true.
What's it like running a newspaper? You know what?
This is so true. Like one episode, we might have to just be like, here's all the behind the scene craziness of some of the biggest stories.
Oh my gosh. Well, go ahead.
So I was going to say, I want to ask like some fun, fast questions. Phil, I lose track of time. That's not my problem. My problem is, you know, finding fabulous people like you to be on the podcast at the time. I'm just like, whatever. How would you list Cincinnati among the cities? Like if we had to put out that list for the state, we're the best, right?
Oh, statewide? Uh-huh. Of course.
Okay.
But I would tell you, I'm out here at Sundance and Cleveland is here and Columbus is here. And we actually don't win if we're not all winning, because it is a statewide tax credit and we want the industry statewide. We don't want just one to benefit. So we get along very well and we market the state collectively. And I will tell you, I work just as closely with the state of Kentucky because we are such a regional city, and being able to cross state lines and having regionalism and partners on both sides really makes everything we do more powerful. And then you have two statewide tax credits to sell. So I have the Kentucky tax credit and I have the Ohio tax credit, and we'll make it work one place or the other. And just having both of those things is very powerful. But I don't know if that's answering your question, but that's Cincinnati is always going to be at the top.
Who's the biggest movie star you've ever met?
I have no idea.
I know it's different for everybody, but
I can tell you the one I was most starstruck by was Ewan McGregor. He did a movie in Cincinnati called Miles Ahead. And my husband and I took him to several Reds games. And my husband, he'd never been to a Major League Baseball game. And so my husband explained the game of baseball. But my husband looked at me at one point. He goes, "You're not talking." I go, "I'm nervous." But he was wonderful. And then bought a bunch of Cincinnati Reds gear. And now it's his team moving forward. So that was really special. Obviously, Clooney in Cincinnati is a highlight. And one of our very best friends now is obviously Emilio Estevez, who lives in Cincinnati now. He didn't just come, he moved. All of those are amazing. But I don't know. The biggest movie star I've ever met, I don't know. Maybe Robert De Niro.
He's a biggie. I am like, that's pretty impressive. It was Bruce Willis for me. They were filming on 4th Street, like kind of where the Inquirer, like outside the doors. And people were like, Bruce Willis is outside. And I was like, let me set the City Hall stuff aside for just a minute.
Bruce Willis does a bunch of action movies. And are those going to win critical acclaim? Probably not. But there was one film called Marauders that was down on 4th Street. And if you watch that film, it is such a love letter to Cincinnati. The shots of Cincinnati are incredible. And people all over the world ask me about that film. And, you know, for whatever reason, that is one that will always, that just the drone shots of downtown and the bridge, that if you haven't seen that film, go see that film because it is such a love letter.
So you mentioned Robert De Niro. So you did get to meet him. Are you guys on like a first name basis when you see him? Are you like, hey, Bob?
So we were still shooting and everything is going really well.
I was trying to tease that out of you a little bit. But well, it's fun watching social media, not just you guys, but people, you know, sharing pictures of, you know, 1950s era cars on the street going, oh my gosh, look at these cars. I wonder if Robert De Niro's nearby. I mean, it's just such a fun buzz to be happening right now that we're just so grateful you found the time while you're out selling the city, selling the region, selling the state at Sundance to chat with us for the podcast. So we should probably later get back to work, Sherry.
Yeah, I think so.
Next time I want you guys with me, okay?
I'm done.
You don't need to invite Sherry twice. She'll be there.
That would be amazing.
And the next really big world market festival is Cannes. I don't know how your French is.
Oh, wait, do you go to that?
I have been in the past. I don't go regularly. It really depends on the opportunity to market and what partners are investing with us to do that. But that's certainly another world-class stage. And we have a lot of, I don't know what films are in yet, but we have the potential of having many Cincinnati-made films in that festival.
So Kristen, when I get a travel request from Sherry to go to Cannes, I know who to blame right now. You planted that seed.
I think you mean thank.
Yeah. You know what? I do have to say one of those movies possibly is going to be Shirley, about Shirley Chisholm, the one, you know, the first Black congresswoman, and a lot of filming at City Hall. And I'm real. There's no date set or anything. Every once in a while I check IMBD. It's like, where is this movie this year? They said, I'm very excited to see my working space every day turned into a movie set.
Right. I mean, that film, just having, and Regina King, you know, being from Cincinnati, and her sister, you know, who's a producer on that film, and having their whole family, you know, be anchored here in Cincinnati, and just coincidentally, you know, they chose Cincinnati to backdrop that film, again, because of our period architecture, and because we can, that was one of the biggest budget films to come to Cincinnati, and that opened the door for many bigger budget films, because they were like, if you can do this, and that was a Warner Brothers, but you can do this, then you can obviously handle bigger budget film sizes. So, you know, we're just setting pace to like open our doors to anchor those TV series here, you know, to show them that we can handle this stuff. But I will tell you, the $1 million movie is still just as important to me, and getting people experience on these films and seeing this ecosystem sort of evolve in Cincinnati. You're suddenly seeing more film festivals pop up. You're seeing film degree programs pop up at the University of Cincinnati, NKU. I mean, this is what it's about. It's not just us bringing movies to shoot, but it's really creating an entire ecosystem of industry here. And that's what's going to be the longevity of this whole thing. And that's probably the most rewarding part of being here this long, but seeing those things and seeing kids graduate from college and want to stay in Cincinnati and work in the film industry.
All right. We're going to let you get back to it, right, Burl?
Yeah, we probably should.
Although
we might have to have a part two of Kristen after filming, once the release happens for wise guys, then you can tell us some behind the scenes
then
stuff.
Then we
right?
can get in the trenches. I would love
All
it.
Right. Have
me too. Okay.
We're going to hold
right,
you
have
to
fun
that.
And good luck.
Thanks.
Bye, Kristen.
See you guys.
All right. Well, I haven't been this excited about a movie in a long time, and now I'm even more excited about it. So, I don't know. I love it. This is really fun for the city right now.
Oh, it's totally fun. You know, and I'm a sucker for any kind of content that involves, you know, the mob. Like I watched The Sopranos. I've seen more De Niro movies than I can even remember. So it is so cool that he's here, that movie's being filmed here. But it's also interesting to find out that it's not just about the architecture. It's not just about how easy it is to make the downtown of Cincinnati look like New York circa 1950. It is tax incentives. It is marketing the city. It is, you know, the quality of the talent here for filmmakers to hire crew up and down the line. So I learned a lot, Sherry. I learned quite a bit talking to Kristen.
So that's one big thing that's happening here, and we have another big thing.
I wish it was happening here.
Well.
And not in
Kansas City.
You know,
me too, but that's okay because it's happening to us.
Now, I think I'd have to go back and look at the whole coin toss, you know, scandal. But if Kansas City would have lost, it would have been possible, I think, that the Bengals would have been able to host the division playoff here. But
agreed. Speaking of complicated math. But in the end, Kansas City, we're in the same position we would have been in. So
right. That
I'm glad that that's not casting a shadow. You know, Joe Burrow, you know, made funny reference to that neutral site that could have happened. But I am very excited being going into this game obviously I wish we were the higher seed, but we're in the same position that we would have been in had everything not happened. So there's really nothing like casting a shadow
right.
over
by,
this.
And by everything you mean, if the first game against the Bills didn't get canceled, we're exactly where we would have been. And the Bengals controlled their own destiny by winning. You know, they didn't have to subject themselves to a coin toss. They won outright, you know, beating the Ravens again. And so here we are, back-to-back AFC championship appearances. Big moment for the team, big moment for the city. I've got friends from all over the country texting me saying they're on the Bengals bandwagon now.
I know, I saw Matt.
The last holdouts were the Buffalo people, but now they're, yep.
I haven't talked to my boss, Carl, is from Buffalo, so I haven't talked
You know,
to
I
him
thought that was pretty gutsy of Carl Weiser posting on Facebook yesterday a picture of him and, you know, some kind of awful Hawaiian shirt that was Buffalo Bills themed. I mean,
it was not his good luck shirt. Let's put it.
Well, now they're all on the Bengals bandwagon. So we got that going for us.
Yes, absolutely. And so I did want to ask you, we have a very famous front page from last year. I think one of Cincinnati's really best front pages ever. I think if I talk about it right now, it's hanging on my wall. It is us. That kind of was a mantra going into things when we won that big game. And that is a catchphrase. And then I saw, you know, the Monday front page. And can you kind of tell us how that came together? Because it was stunning.
Well, first of all, as print subscribers know, we no longer use print normally as the platform of choice for breaking news. We have, the whole newspaper industry has consolidated when it comes to production and presses, and we aren't printed in Cincinnati. And so we have early deadlines, and often, like, you know, the news of, you know, anything breaking, anything late is going to lag in the print edition. But for special moments like this, we are able to kind of go back in time and get the last press time, get the last trucking times to cover, you know, what ended up being a historic win for the Bengals. And so it is what you're referring to is, I think, these kind of historic pages where it's, you know, dominated by one big headline, one big photo. And so it's kind of fun because we don't get to play in the print platform as much as we used to focus on, you know, what is the photo and what is the headline. And when you run a giant headline, you know, for people who understand point sizes, like 120 point, you know, 2-inch tall type, you only have a couple words to work with. So last year, the Bengals handed us the headline. It was, you know, it is us. It, like, we aren't flashes in the pan. We belong here. We are the team to reckon with. I think, you know, I don't know if Joe Burrow coined it, but he said it and it got picked up. So when they won, that was the clear headline last year when they won the AFC championship was, as you said, it is us. But last night, you know, we didn't really have anything preconceived. And so I have to give credit to Bengals reporter, beat writer, Charlie Goldsmith. He's partnered up with Kelsey Conway to cover the Bengals. He tossed that headline on Monday's paper out there.
We haven't said it yet.
Snow day. And
D-E-Y.
When I first saw it,
Snow day, D-E-Y.
Yes, of course. Snow day. And then the sub headline was something to the effect of the Bengals, you know, plowed their way to another AFC championship win, you know, capturing
for some reason it snowed yesterday. Like,
yes. I mean, it was snowing in Buffalo. It was one of those. It just reminded me of like watching like vintage Chicago Bears playoff games from the 70s or, you know, the Steelers in the Iron Curtain era. When snow would be falling at, you know, the former Three Rivers Stadium. And so it just had that classic playoff, snowy, you know, January football feel to it. It didn't stop the Bengals at all. They, you know, pun intended, plowed their way to victory through that snowy season. But it is fun to, you know, be involved with that discussion on, okay, what is this front page going to look like, because it will be a keeper for some people. You know, people will save it. They'll want to, you know, show it to their grandkids to remind them when the Bengals were awesome. You know, sometimes people put it on t-shirts and you only get one shot. It's not like the internet where if you don't like the headline, you can just write another one and update it until you're happy with it.
Never done that.
Oh no, never have done that. You know, when you're committing it to print and you're on a really tight deadline, you got one shot. And so hats off to Charlie for coming up with that. And now we have to, you know, put our thinking caps on again for what I hope to be a second consecutive AFC championship.
Not hope, will be.
All right. Well, you know, I have to maintain my objectivity as a journalist, Sherry.
Okay.
I have to, there's no, as we say, there's no cheering in the press box.
Oh, I know. So I don't know. That came out yesterday on social a little bit, like how quiet is in the press box. And I've occasionally, like if I'm covering fan stuff, like pop my head in there. It is like, outside the press box, and you open the door and shut it behind you, and it's dead silent. It is like a library. You're like, what's happening in here? There's a football game going on.
But I mean, we are the Cincinnati media. We all pull together in times like this. I'm totally okay with, you know, celebrating this. That's part of what our job is to do, to celebrate these moments, these, you know, that give us, you know, that pull our community together. But yes, we have to be objective, of course.
Okay.
You can cheer inside your head. You can have like, but yeah, no cheering in the press box. So if anyone has any thoughts on what the AFC championship victory headline should be, hit me up, email me, or find me on Twitter, throw some ideas out, because it's going to have to be, win or lose, it's going to have to be another, you know, one headline, one big photo that captures it all. So I don't know if we're going to be able to top it is us, but we're sure going to try.
Agree.
All right.
All right, you guys, thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. Don't forget to go to that City Beat poll and vote for us. That's still going on. It's like the longest poll in the history of the world.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. All right. Bye.